One, two, is this on? Yo, yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Don. Yo, tell me whose time it is now. Yeah, just kicking it up here.
Welcome along to Proper Sport Does WWE, episode 25. Sorry to interrupt. My Time, which was by Chris Warren, with the Triple H theme of, what, the 2000s? Early 2000s?
Yeah, when he started to get all the power and mind stuff.
When he was going a single star.
Yeah.
Very cool theme, that. My Time! Very cool theme. Triple H is one of the main things we'll be talking about today. Of course, him taking over a little bit more of the reins of WWE and things like that. But, yeah, welcome along to the podcast. Richard, how are you?
Yeah, good. Excited for another exciting week along the road to Elimination Chamber.
Bit of a turn there. I was expecting Mania, but okay.
Well, it is Elimination Chamber up next. And we've got Fastlane as well, which I'm not sure.
We know the main event of, though.
Yeah. But I'm not sure anyone really cares. And yeah, we're all excited, I think.
Well, yeah. All right, let's... we'll
vaguely.
Vaguely excited. Let's start, as we always do, with the Raw yes. Recap. Overall, Richard, what did you make of it as a Monday night programme?
It was... I was going to say interesting, but it's never interesting, is it? It's just a collection of stuff. What was the best bit of it? Why did Mickie James beat Sonya Deville?
I'm not too sure.
Finn Balor and Carl Anderson. So the club is a thing now. It's official.
Well, the Balor Club.
Yeah.
It's always been a thing, but...
I know, but it's like a proper thing.
You mean a television thing?
Yeah. But now they beat the Revival. I like the Revival. They beat the Revival. Can they beat someone rubbish?
The Revival, in many eyes of the people, the casual viewer, might be rubbish. They're not. They're not rubbish at all.
Drake Maverick came out and they had to point out again he used to be known as Rockstar Spud. Just call him Rockstar Spud.
Just call him Rockstar Spud. It's so much easier.
It's like we know it.
Right. And it was all right on commentary.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I'm trying to get more into the Cruiserweight stuff because 205 Live, I want us to help support it. I want to make it great again.
Yeah. Kurt Angle did a thing and Alexa was involved in that. That was...
I tell you what, that was a good promo. Let's kind of go through it a little bit then. So obviously we know that Roman Reigns is going to be in the Elimination Chamber. We know everyone but one, and that'll be decided this week in a fatal four-way match. It's got to be Finn Balor, you got to think. Other than that, maybe we found out that Elias is going to be in the Elimination Chamber first. Good, that was interesting. That
last.
Sorry, my apologies. Of course, yeah. We found out he's going to be in last because he won a triple threat match between John Cena and Braun Strowman.
Yes,
and. Good character building by him pinning Cena. I thought that was very good.
Braunie the Strowman.
But yeah, it's building towards them too at Mania, isn't it?
It's interesting. It's different.
What, him and Cena? And Cena?
It's someone different, isn't it? It's someone, whether you like Elias or not, it's someone different. Have you heard about the match they booked for Madison Square Garden?
No, go on.
John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Elias and... Who would you have... Female tag teaming with Elias against John Cena and Nikki Bella.
A heel. So,
well, you're wrong. First of all,
it'd have to be Bayley then because of the mixed match challenge.
It's Bayley.
Oh,
maybe she's going to beat up Sasha Banks. That's what we all want to see. She lost to Asuka. That was a good match. It was all right.
Was it?
It's all right. It's fine. Yeah.
I don't know, there's something about Bayley that's not striking me. There's not really... Maybe it's time for her to...
Beat up Sasha Banks.
Yeah, maybe the heel turn that needs to be her, not Sasha, but yeah. The Miz comes out, cuts a great promo. His stars have aligned, he was saying.
The Miz, yes.
Overall, I'm telling you now, if he doesn't... I think he could win the WWE Champion, one of the main world titles this year. And if he doesn't, I think they've wasted it. He's been a real good... solid star. We saw obviously what's happened with Jason Jordan and the best of luck with his surgery. It's apparently been successful. Yeah. But it was interesting towards the match, which was Cesaro and Sheamus versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and him costing it. And the thing is, this is what people don't get, and I've mentioned it before. The reason you're meant to boo Jason Jordan is because of the way that they're booking him, and they're doing it quite correctly. I understand that they don't want him, but it's working. You're building a decent heel, hopefully. But do you think, will that happen? I don't know.
It remains to be seen. It remains to be seen.
And I think that's really Raw as a whole, isn't it?
Yeah, nothing else happened on Raw.
But this is the thing. It's just, they're slow burners, these Raws up to
Mania,
well, aren't they?
It's because it is the road to WrestleMania. You have to fill it with something, don't you?
Yeah.
It was a program. We've been through this before, and it was dumb. So we'll see what happens next.
Over on SmackDown now. I've talked about it before now. I think it's on a bit of a downward spiral. This is pretty much a carbon copy, bar the top 10 list, apparently.
What is that top 10 list thing all about?
I'll tell you in a second. But this is pretty much a carbon copy of the last three or four SmackDowns that we've had. They're just not good and not interesting. The Usos did another promo, minus the lockdown graphic.
Lockdown.
So they learnt. Yeah. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan questioned each other again. AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn interact again. This is a program that is in dire need. Yeah, it's the same every week, and they need to change it. What is going on? Bobby Roode versus Rusev. Solid match. Yeah. But it's not enough for me to tune in every week. This, I'm not going to lie to you, recorded it, watched on Fast Forward, and I thought, I'm not even going to do
that.
That's
the best way of watching it, isn't it?
But I said, I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to wait for the YouTube highlights.
Yeah. Why do they book Absolution and the Riot Squad exactly the same every week?
Because I'd love for someone from WWE to creative to get in, because they've not got no decent ideas at the moment, none, and it's frustrating to watch this week after week to be the same program again and again. And the worst part is, when it comes to them, for example, you can watch the exact same thing 24 hours earlier.
Yeah,
that's annoying.
Which is your favourite, Absolution or Riot Squad?
Absolution. I prefer Absolution, yeah. I think I'm more intrigued by what they're going to do with Paige. And also, I think Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville have actually shown better match quality so far. Maybe it's the calibre of the wrestlers that they're fighting. But, okay, so the top 10 list. Richard, what did you make of it?
It's pointless, isn't it?
It is pointless. What's the point?
I don't know.
Ty Dillinger, who's barely been on,
he's 10,
comes 10th. And gimmick. Of course, gimmick.
Well, immediately everyone knows it's fake. Even though it is fake, everyone knows it's fake. I was getting distracted. I've got a picture of Sonya Deville with a sledgehammer. So it's like a female Triple H. But the top 10 list is rubbish, so I don't know.
If it serves a purpose down the line of, you know, if they move up a certain place and they get a United States Championship slot or a WWE Championship slot, no, it's not going to do that, is it? Because we're going to be stuck with AJ Styles, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn up until at least Fastlane, when I imagine Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will start their program towards Mania, them two. And I would like that match, but I would have liked it in a much more less predictable route.
Yeah, it does feel like, as you say, it's kind of on, but you're just like, I don't think I can be bothered watching it. Which is a shame.
It is a shame, really, isn't it?
It is.
Rusev Day is clearly over, so would it have been a good time to maybe change the championship, do you think, Richard?
Well, he's only just won it, hasn't he, Bobby Roode? But Rusev should be the world champion, or whichever one it is on this brand.
The WWE champion.
It is the world championship, which they've rebranded again. I mean, it was the World Heavyweight Championship, and now it's just the WWE championship.
Now it's just the WWE. It has been for a little while, though, to be fair.
I know, but I don't know why they do that.
Yeah. And then Randy Orton, obviously, coming in and RKOing both of them, because
so it looks like
he needs something to do.
Yeah, it looks like he... And he's not happy about being sixth on the list or whatever it was.
And then that's it, really, from SmackDown.
Yeah.
Well, we found out about the Triple Threat match. Great, great. I'd like that match. I would.
Yeah.
But I'd like it, you know, less... These three have been going to and froing since... Well, Hell in a Cell was, what, October?
Hey, it was a long time ago now, yeah.
That is insane.
But, you know, it's... it's all... Like, once we get to WrestleMania, we'll be excited. But it's not WrestleMania yet.
Okay. The Mixed Match Challenge. This was the one I wanted probably to tune in least so far. And as expected... Jimmy or, I forget.
I can't remember.
Well, one of the Usos and Naomi beating Rose Gold, who, to be fair, to say they were given a week or two, they were fun. They were good.
Yeah, yeah.
They were good. And Mandy Rose is potential. There's potential there for a big star.
Yes, I think they know that, don't they? And she's been groomed to be. She's everything Vince likes in a woman. She's blonde. She's got boobs.
What most women do.
And big boobs and a backside. And she wears skimpy clothes. And they're empowering females. I forgot that bit, sorry.
And so that's pretty much it. Of course, 205 Live, the tournament continued. I don't think there's too much we need to talk about there. That's WWE recapped their programming this week. Not a great week. Not a great week, Richard.
No, I think we switched studios to this. We could have probably still fit it in between the time we had to do, but never mind. You wanted to talk about the big news of the week?
So, some of the news that we're going to go through. I talked last week about Seth Rollins debunking rumours of his back injury. We still know further details on that, but hopefully we'll see. Over on Impact Wrestling, the departures that, of course, have EC3, others, Bobby Lashley potentially and everything. Scott D'Amore has come out and said that this is the creating now opportunities for others. And while I'm agreeing with that, I think Impact might be a little bit worried about the sheer number, the sheer volume of people.
It's been a long time since I've watched TNA. And I think if I watch it now, I won't have a clue where half the people are on it. Which is a shame. But that's what happens, isn't it, when you're even the second biggest company in America, ROH, New Japan, probably. Old repeats on WWE Network. I don't know. It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
As I said before, I don't have enough time to watch everything, let alone watch another company as well.
Yeah, but they've also, obviously, they've now lost the rights to the Broken gimmick, so expect to see that soon. The Miz, one of our favourites here on Proper Sport, does WWE. He signed a new deal until 2022. Now, I think that's pretty decent, of course. Yeah. He's definitely one of the top guys at the moment.
He is.
And they love him. Because the fact that he does the movies, they've got Miz and Mrs.
He's
know,
good on telly.
New Total Bellas.
He speaks well in interviews.
Yeah.
He's the perfect ambassador for the WWE brand.
Mm-hmm. And then,
It's been quite a quiet week, hasn't it? It's just been a week where nothing much has happened.
A little, but then we kind of come on to the main sort of stories.
Yes.
The first one, I've got two for you. Right, coming on to the Triple H thing, which is probably a bit more of a chat, but Ronda Rousey apparently has been brought in to elevate.
Speaking of brands,
to apparently elevate Stephanie McMahon, to transform her into a mainstream sort of house known name. Yeah? And that's according to Meltzer, of course, of the Wrestling Observer. Why would you want to do that?
Because it's the McMahons. That's end of discussion. Thank you very much. Move on.
Great.
But isn't it? They want her to be a mainstream celebrity.
But they don't want Rousey to be it then.
Well, she already is one, isn't she?
Well, she was the most searched female sports athlete last year on Google and stuff.
So they're using that rub, if you will. They always say, don't they, that when the McMahons are on, they give a rub, so to speak, to the talent, which is never true, apart from, of course, of Stephanie and Triple H, but that's off camera. Thank you very much. But I don't know what are they trying to make her into in terms of a mainstream celebrity? What is Stephanie McMahon going to do?
This is what I'm asking. So is this to help her, you know, promote the WWE? Is this to help her become maybe a movie star? She's clearly...
But she's not an actor, is she?
This is my point. So what's the purpose of this? Because
I don't know.
At the end of the day, she's not an actor.
Yeah.
She's not a wrestler.
No, or the former women's champion.
She's not an athlete.
No.
She's behind the scenes, apparently.
I think they'll say she's not like most girls, but no, she is.
I don't understand why this would be needed for her rather than an actual star in the wrestling company.
Ego.
Yeah, but why?
Because she's not leaving.
I'm not denying... I know, I understand that, but why does she need it and not her stars?
Because they'll leave and she's going to be there forever. Then, now, forever.
Even this is the thing. People are not going to get on the WrestleMania card because of the fact that this is going to lead to a match, isn't it? Rousey versus McMahon, or Rousey and The Rock.
We already knew that, didn't we? We already knew that, so... I don't know, it's just... It is what it is, and you get to the point where you just go, no. It's WWE. It's what they do.
This is the thing. To elevate her to what?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Because do they want her to be some kind of top female business celebrity kind of thing? Like, I don't know, female Donald Trump. I can't think of any other business people in America because we're in the UK and we're not in America. I don't know. I honestly don't know what they want her to be outside of professional wrestling. It's a family business. Have you ever seen Vince McMahon when he was on The Apprentice? Did I say this before?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Very weird.
Vince McMahon in real life, weird. Stephanie McMahon in real life, weird. Because she's just Vince. It's like female Vince. That's why she's in charge and not Shane.
Yeah, well, no, Shane's just purely talent. He's on a talent deal. Yeah.
But I know, I mean, in terms of the company and how it went, he went off and wanted to be someone else because he was never going to get the company because he's not Vince and she's Vince.
Who's older, Shane or Steph?
I think Shane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Shane wanted to do his own thing, didn't he?
It's rude to say a woman's age, but yeah, Shane's a lot older.
Oh, a lot older.
Well, 7 years older, according to Wikipedia, which would never lie.
Okay. Let's move on to the main news of the week and probably the big talking point of this week. So, given the news about, of course, the XFL and Vince McMahon's good old different secondary to the NFL football league, it's going to be launched in 2020. Now, this means, of course, we're in 2018. That's 2 years of build.
Yeah.
And it's going to be during the same similar time as the NFL season. Or they're expecting spring or something, I believe, as well. Anyway, during the XFL press conference, of course, Vince said that there's going to be no changes to his role. I remember that specifically, because it was a weird press conference with people on the phones and things like that. He was saying, obviously, that his role in WWE isn't going to change. But this week, it turns out that apparently Triple H is set to gain more power in the WWE due to Vince's investment and obviously him wanting to run the XFL, but that's obviously going to be in 2020. So over the next 2 years, we could probably expect to see Triple H gain more power in the WWE. Richard, your initial thoughts?
Well, this was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Although initially he's only going to be in charge of 205 Live, which is like, well...
Well, he's got NXT and this.
Yeah. And the general theory is, from people who watch NXT every week, and people who've seen the minor changes to 205 Live, they think he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
So the test comes when he's not just doing 1 hour of pre-recorded television, 1 hour of live television, when he's doing 5 hours of live television every week.
Yeah.
So we'll never know. I mean, the signs are good. But what happens when you've got all that time to fill? Well, we won't know until the day there isn't a Vince McMahon.
To be fair, that is quite a scary concept.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is. I'm sure it's been said before that when...
Draw my pen.
When there's no Vince McMahon anymore, the stock of WWE will fall dramatically because he's the one steady hand on the ship, isn't he? He's been there forever. It appears he'll be okay. We'll find out. It's not a great surprise, is it? Because who else would be in that position to take creative control of the company? There is no one else, is there? And if you look at the business today, it's not like they're coming in someone from outside, is it?
Well, no, this is the thing. I think the reason that Vince is already Vince has already been very open and said that he's sort of moulding Triple H to be ready for this sort of role.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think that you've got to have such a big character like Vince has to be able to do that job. So I couldn't imagine someone coming in and doing it. You know, like you hear about Kevin Dunn, you know, the executive producer of the show and everything, and he's obviously like does all sorts with it. But you couldn't imagine him taking over control on a public level, you know what I mean? Things like that. NXT under Triple H has been an example of sort of good creative sort of booking, I think, though. And so fans have been calling for it for months. Oh, you know, the reason NXT stars are failing is because, you know, Vince McMahon doesn't know what to do to book and everything. That's understandable. But Vince McMahon also knows how to cater to more casual audiences. Yep. And he's done it for... He's got a track record of doing it for at least 25 years, Maybe
we're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out in the future, but it's not a surprise. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, as DDP used to do on his promos during that awful bit. It was in WWE. I'm sure it will be fine. It'll be interesting to see how 205 Live evolves in the next weeks and months from where it is now to what it is going to be. Maybe he has more of a feel, bizarrely, for booking the Cruiserweights as opposed to Vince, who, you know, he doesn't like little people doing flips and stuff, does he?
Well, was he in charge of the Cruiserweight Classic?
I'm not sure. I'm sure he must have been.
Well, that was done well.
It was kind of an NXT offshoot thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did well with it. So, I mean, I think he's already shown that he can do things well in terms of, like, sort of creative control.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be good to see him. And this is a good way to bring him in slowly, because if you give him dropped in straight away, it's never going to be easy, is it? Overall, obviously, Jeremy Borash has come in. And that seems that does this suggest that maybe he's moving away from NXT?
Well, I'd suggest that's more, I don't know, maybe TV production and stuff.
I understand he's I understand he's a presenter and a commentator and everything like that, and, yeah, and many people like him, don't they?
No, yeah.
So, but he's also been in the business for a very long time.
Gabe Sapolsky's more involved, isn't he, with the company these days? So it's there will be a slow transition, and this is just another part of the slow transition of Triple H eventually running the company.
With Steph?
With Stephanie.
Oh, dear. I think it'd be good to see how he does with 205 Live. I mean, that's another reason why I will want to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Especially if there's better booking and better matches and better, you know, character building. That's the main thing, I think, on WWE. That's the thing, though. NXT stars failing on the main card. Why? Why do they do it? Because is it because they're struggling to get their character over to the casual viewer? Or is it because of the booking decisions?
It's the booking.
Yeah.
Why did American Alpha not get over? Why did...
Well, they did to an extent. That's why they won the title.
It fell away. They didn't win the title quick enough or whatever. Why is Bayley not worked?
Again, it did briefly.
Yeah, but now she's floundering.
Yeah.
And she shouldn't be. Not everyone will work, of course, but it's interesting. You know, I don't know... We will see what happens in the future. Maybe Triple H's idea of what is a star in 2018 is not the same as Vince McMahon's. I'm sure it isn't.
Okay. Right, well, thank you very much, Richard. Your match of the week, good sir.
It's Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon. No, it's not. It's In Your House 2. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm going to watch it again because it's a great match. For the Intercontinental title, Jeff Jarrett, as we spoke about TNA briefly earlier, versus Shawn Michaels. You ever seen this one? It's a really great old school title match.
For the
Intercontinental
title, yeah.
4 to 5 stars, depending on who you believe. Really, really great match. In Your House too, Jeff Jarrett versus Shawn Michaels. I'll pick something from one of the more bizarre Coliseum videos next week. I went back and watched UK Rampage 93. It is as bad as I remember, but it also transported me back to being 12 and being there. And it was quite cool.
Did you not see yourself in the crowd?
No. But it's quite cool watching it again and seeing the crowd was so ridiculously hot for everything, apart from Bob Backlund versus Damien Demento. But there was air horns and chants for everyone. It was ridiculous. And Jim Ross and Bobby Heenan were very funny on commentary.
Very good.
Go back and watch it as a historical novelty. You might not like it as much as I did because I obviously was there and I have an emotional attachment to it, because actually most of the wrestling was rubbish.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much. I know we're a week or two away from Elimination Chamber? Or is it Something this Sunday? Is it next Sunday?
No, I don't think it's this Sunday.
Yeah. Right now, how excited are you for it?
Not that excited yet.
There we go. Right, hopefully next week we'll be a bit
Still
more
watch
excited.
It,
yeah. $9.99 WWE Network. Thank you very much for joining me. We'll see you again next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.